Welcome to the PodTech.net Juniper Networks Master of IT podcast with Josh Hopkins. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So you're with B&H Labeling Systems, which is a new gig for you. You're an IT pro. You've been designated as a Master of IT from Juniper Networks. You've been around the block. You've seen it all. You have a lot of experience. But the company you're with now is developing and manufacturing labeling systems, but they're growing like crazy, so you're in a growing environment. But your other challenge is that they're modernizing. Talk about what's going on. You're ripping out everything. You're modernizing. Talk about that.
Yeah, I started and we were working with stuff that was bought off the shelf at Best Buy or what have you. And it really doesn't cut it for an enterprise. So especially not with a lot of our strategic goals. I mean, talk about downtime. Downtime costs. Every time we're down, it's costing us money. We can't count production on the floor. We can't do data acquisition from our machinery in the field. It's just not good. So, we've done a major revamping. Juniper routers, firewalls, connectivity for our remote sales staff, service techs via SSL VPN, and our remote offices around the world. I mean, we've got stuff going in Asia, Mexico, and two offices over in Europe that are, you know, we're all tied together and we're all on the same platform now. So, I mean, our strategic goals of aligning ourselves as a cohesive business group and unit have really come together because of all.
A lot of companies have, you know, one of those problems. They're growing fast. You also got the problem that, you know, the company has to kind of re-modernize. So it's really kind of an opportunity. At the same time, it's a little bit more, it's harder, but you can have a clean sheet of paper. Obviously, a lot of other master of ISTs talk about, you know, no more hard perimeters. So it's more of a soft perimeter environment, you know, diverse access types. Talk about how you're approaching the job there and some of the challenges and what you've done. Obviously, completely ripping out the network and putting in new networks. How'd you approach that and what are you learning?
How did I approach it? Well, I approached it jumping in with both feet. let's see. I basically have, revamped it security-wise. I mean, before there was really nothing there, and it was kind of open, fair game. And, that doesn't work too well. I've made it easy to access everything using the SSL VPN technology, which is great. All of our people out there love it. I mean, quick access to files, quick access to Outlook web access, the ability to use their Network Connect feature and allow them to run other applications that we have to do things. For example, our service techs now can be anywhere in the world, connect to the SSL VPN, use the Network Connect option, pull up their software to view the controls on a machine that we could have anywhere else in the world and be able to diagnose a problem for one of our customers. I mean, that right there is completely outstanding because it takes the need to have constant service technicians all over the place down to, okay, now we have our core technician group, and if there's really a problem, we can send them to the customer side. So we're saving money there. Our sales staff loves it. They're using remote desktop sharing to do presentations to customers on the other side of the world or the other side of the country without having to actually go into their facility. And once those are done and the customer's like, oh, you know, I really want to see more, now we're sending a person out there to help them. We've been able to tie everybody together. So, you know, all of our remote offices are tied through a secure tunnel between everybody. So, you know, we've got everything shared to everybody now with a whole lot broader capability.
So you're the hero then. You've basically taken them from kind of disparate, kind of disconnected environment to fully connecting them so that basically they can better run their business. But also you're connecting people. I mean, the people must be pretty psyched about that.
Some of them are. I mean, you know, we really have a tremendous amount of capability. Now that we have it all here, now I get to go into training mode. Now I get to train everybody on, hey, here's how you want to use it. This is what you want to do. So, you know, now that we have all the capability, now's the time to be an educator. So,
how did the Juniper product, talk about the firewall. I mean, you mentioned to me before we started the call about you know, it's pretty much at all the network points where you need to have the security. Talk about that and Juniper for a minute.
Well, you know, security is today. It's a very, very, very big necessity. You know, and as we're doing more and more with our customers, and as we create these connections between us and our customers, you know, we have to take security to the next level. For example, if we're pulling really real-time data from a facility that's labeling something, you know, they would be very unhappy with us if somebody were to get into our system and then be able to see all of their data. So, you know, that's where we have to take it to the next level. And every customer that, you know, we've gone to and says, look, this is the hardware we're using, this is what we're putting in, when we sit down there and explain it to them, they're all okay with it. I have not had one person come back and say, you got to use this hardware or this hardware.
I mean, yeah, I've heard this story before with other masters of IT, where basically I had one guy tell me off the record that basically, I won't say the name of the other vendor, but they were authorized engineers from the other guys, and they actually recommended Juniper because these products were so solid and flexible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I mentioned, there's actually been a few customers of ours who have completely switched over some of their firewall and technology based off of the recommendations that not only myself, but probably others have too.
Well, people are talking, and now we're podcasting it, so now everyone knows. So a lot of people are hearing it from real testimonials. And I guess that's one of the benefits of doing some of these podcasts. So thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot. Well, you know, just kind of on a final note here, obviously you guys growing, you have a lot of remote access as well. What can you share with folks out there, things that you've learned in your new role and in this particular challenge, what you've learned, and advice you'd want to give other folks?
My best advice I can give somebody is first off, Juniper products are great. They're rock solid. Not to mention, they back you up with some of the best support I've ever had. I mean, a lot of guys want to be all proud and macho, or even gals for that matter. They want to be proud and not ask for help. But let me tell you, I've called them up and says, okay, I'm stumped. I can't figure this out. And you know what? There's three or four guys hopping on it, and guess what? We're done, and it's fixed. You know, I've never had an issue that has not been resolved much quicker than any other vendor I've ever used. By far, their support is extremely valuable. That's the best thing I can say is, you know, use their support and use their products, because if you got a problem, they'll fix it for you and help you fix it. So,
any advice from a just business and technical perspective in IT, moving into a growth environment where you have to kind of revamp, and a lot of companies are in the life cycles are now looking at that, and I don't like these words modernizing, but kind of retooling. There's new open source tools out there. The network topology environment's changing. Talk about what you could share with them in that area.
In areas of those natures, you know, I'll be really honest. You know, I do a lot of open source technology, hardware-wise, software-wise, and, you know, a lot of the data collection or monitoring tools or how do you want to put it, even change management tools, I've never had them integrate so well into networking products like they do with Juniper.
Open source is a great, is now a viable business model for IT people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I use open source stuff on a daily basis. You know, I don't want to put anybody down, but it's, why would I go spend $20,000 on a semantic mail gateway when I could build one open source for $30 and have it just as good, if not better?
It's causing the vendors to react, certainly, and educate their customers on their value.
Absolutely.
And how is Juniper, I mean, you said integrated well with open source. What do you mean, from a reliability and security perspective?
From a reliability, security, to remote monitoring, I use remote monitoring tools. You know, they let me know if there's ever a hiccup or a downtime or, you know, a trouble on one of the T1 lines, or a user tried to log in that wasn't supposed to log in, what have you, those kinds of things. It integrates that data back to it, and then it gets it to me. And I've never had a system that I've been able to utilize where I've been able to have all of those pieces in one location like I can with Juniper.
I think you're the first master of IT that's ever gone on record saying that you're using open source and it integrates well with vendors. And that's a feature of Juniper, but that's a lot of people are doing it. I mean, and it's bona fide.
Oh, yeah. It's bona fide. I mean, there's open source doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means you pay for support, not for the product. That's the big kick with most of those things. I mean, if I wanted to pay for support for remote monitoring system I'm using, I could spend $10,000 to $15,000 a year on the support. But if I don't need the support and the open forums are good enough for me, guess what? I have the same enterprise product, but I just don't have the support of the company.
Open source does things in a different way. The issue with open source is security. How did you manage it? How did you feel comfortable with the security component of open source?
Well, I mean, while open source has been around for a while, we'll take Linux, for example, on the open source side. You've got Linux that's been approved for use by the National Security Agency. I'm pretty comfortable with that. If they're telling me that using the SE Linux module of Linux makes this open source machine secure, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, and vendors are doing work, too. I mean, I'm sure Juniper, I don't know the specifics, but I'm sure that they have some integration aspects of that they've tested.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be surprised if they hadn't. You know, there are multiple facets to it, but I haven't found... They are definitely the first that I've used out there that have integrated very well into my open source technology that I'm using.
We're here with Josh Hopkins with B&H Labeling Systems in California, 90 miles, from east of San Francisco. You're in California. You're an IT pro. Final question, Josh.
Okay.
5 years from now, what's going to be different in the IT world?
That's such a broad question because technology is always changing. I mean, pretty soon we're going to have quad-core CPUs. A terabyte will be a common thing in a end-user desktop. Fiber will be run to the home instead of phone lines. People will get their technology that way. Those are the kinds of things that I'm going to foresee seeing because those are the things that are starting to pop their heads up in certain places.
More computing, more networking, more everything.
More everything, I think.
More casting, like podcasting. Josh Hopkins, thanks so much. Congratulations on being Master of IT from Juniper Networks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the podcast. For more information on Juniper's Master of IT, you can go to www.masterofit.net. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.